from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. So this is an emergency podcast edition. It is the second show of the day. We had a show that came out at about 11:30 a.m. this morning, and between 11:30 and about 1 o'clock Pacific time, the Giants made a number of trades, as we predicted might happen. So the first thing that we should say, for anyone who actually somehow hasn't heard yet, Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith were not traded today by the Giants. However, as we predicted, the Giants really did trade from their bullpen depth. They moved Sam Dyson, Mark Melancon, Drew Pomeranz, and Ray Black today. They made five separate deals, including win now moves and acquiring pieces for the future. And they did all of this without giving up too much. The consensus around the industry and in my opinion is that the Giants did very well today. So we're going to talk about all of the individual moves and reaction and analysis to them. The first move that was announced was a trade between the Giants and the Brewers. The Giants sending Drew Pomeranz and Ray Black to the Brewers in exchange for second baseman slash shortstop Mauricio Dubon. So my instant analysis of this trade is that the Giants did very well. And Drew Pomeranz, we said it from the day that he was signed by the Giants. I thought it was a good low-risk signing for the Giants. He gets a lot of strikeouts. It hasn't been a great season for him, despite the fact that he still has looked dominant at times and shown an ability to strike batters out. And I think we really saw that come through when he was pitching out of the bullpen in his last few games. So despite a lot of mainstream analysis saying that, I remember not long ago at all, there was an article written criticizing Farhan Zaidi, saying that it's worth noting that he was like one of their only major league signings and that he's been terrible. But it's about the tools, and Pomeranz has the swing and miss. There was real upside on a $2.5 million deal there. And he ended up really showing what he can do in the bullpen in a tiny little five-inning sample. But, you know, swings and misses and Ks are hard to fluke. And the Brewers bought in. Ray Black is another really interesting arm for the Giants. Throws in the low 100s, high 90s, but he wasn't able to really crack this bullpen. The Giants kind of gave him an opportunity this year and last year, and he wasn't able to run with it. He was kind of a depth piece for the Giants, and they're able to get Dubon from Milwaukee. So he immediately slots in, according to Fangraphs, as the sixth best Giants prospect. He just turned 25, and the Fangraphs scouting report is essentially that he has elite hand-eye coordination and bat control, which drive a contact-oriented offensive profile. They say he should at least have doubles power, and defensively he's passable at shortstop and second base. A lot of scouts see him as a super utility type. Fangraphs sees him as a low-end regular at shortstop, but he definitely could be a guy who fits in at second base for the Giants as well. It's a really good get for Pomeranz and Ray Black. This is exactly the type of player, the type of depth the Giants farm system needs. And besides Marco Luciano, who's many years away, just 17 years old and in rookie ball, Dubon instantly becomes their most likely middle infielder to take over and get called up and produce at the major league level in the shorter term. He did debut with the Brewers this season. We actually saw him for at least one at-bat in that series the Giants had in Milwaukee just a few weeks ago. Fangraphs ranks him as a 45 future value prospect, which is, again, a pretty darn good return for Pomeranz and Ray Black. So we have a lot of other trades to get to. I wish we could talk more about Dubon, but suffice it to say, it's a good deal for the Giants. And I wouldn't be surprised if he comes up sooner rather than later, at least at some point this season. So before moving on, I just kind of want to summarize some of these moves because I don't want to leave anybody hanging who isn't aware of what went down. The Giants traded Mark Melancon to the Braves, and the Braves are taking on the entirety of Melancon's remaining contract, which spans the rest of this year, of course, and then next season as well. So that's just a huge boon to the Giants. That Melancon contract was looking like one the Giants regretted from day one, and one that would be difficult to move, but the Giants were able to do it and get players back in return. They also acquired Scooter Gennett, which I think is the biggest win now move of the day for the Giants, and I like Gennett a lot, and we're going to talk about that move at great length. We don't quite know what the return is going to be there. They say it's either going to be cash considerations or a player to be named later. Mentioned earlier, Sam Dyson was traded. The return there was three prospects, one of whom is close to the major leagues, and then the Giants also made a small deal with the Rays acquiring Joe McCarthy for Jacob Lopez. So we'll talk all about those moves later on. But actually, I want to talk about the Scooter Gennett deal first, because I think this one might have the most immediate short-term implications of all the trades that were made today in terms of helping the Giants. This is the win now move of the bunch. So as I said, the Giants acquired Gennett and cash in exchange for either cash or a player to be named later. So it remains to be seen how this deal is going to be concluded and what the Giants will be giving up. But suffice it to say, it's probably not going to be a huge return. Gennett was really struggling this season, returning from a groin injury about a month ago that he missed all of 2019 up until about a month ago. But in 2017 and 2018, Gennett was one of the brighter stars of the game. Out of nowhere, just became a total offensive force with the Cincinnati Reds. So I love the fact that they're buying low on a guy who was an absolute stud just, you know, for two straight seasons, and I don't think they could have acquired him for so little if they had inquired about him last season. In 2018, Scooter Gennett hit 23 home runs, 310 average, 357 on base, 490 slugging, 25% above average by weighted runs created plus, positive on the defensive end, 4.5 wins above replacement. Just an unbelievable season. And it was following up a breakout 2017 in which he hit 27 home runs, hit 295 with a 342 on base and 531 slugging. That was also about 25% above average by weighted runs created plus. So these were like out of nowhere. He was a solid utility player with the Brewers, but then looked to just take a leap forward with the Reds in 2017 and 2018. Between those two seasons, if you didn't do the math yourself, he hit 50 home runs. Has really not done well this season, it's worth repeating. But it's been only a month. He missed significant time with the groin injury, but he is back and healthy now. He hit cleanup for the Reds today. So just potentially a huge upgrade over Joe Panik, and Joe Panik's future immediately becomes extremely murky because Scooter Gennett is left-handed. Joe Panik is left-handed. Jeanette's position is second base. It's just the writing is on the wall. This is bad news for Joe Panik. He cannot be optioned, even though he has minor league options remaining, because he has 5 years of service time. So he can't be optioned without his consent. And he obviously can't be traded because the trade deadline just passed. Giants will either keep him on the major league roster, option him to the minors with his consent, or just cut him loose and he'll sign with somebody else. Gennett is only signed through 2019. So this is a pure rental in the sense that he is not controllable after the season. The Giants could, of course, bring him back if they want to. They could offer him a contract, but it's really in Gennett's hands what he'll do after the season. So coming up in the second half of the show, we'll talk about these three additional moves, the first one being Mark Melancon dealt to the Braves, Sam Dyson dealt to the Twins, and then a smaller move with the Rays, Giants getting Joe McCarthy, a minor leaguer, for another minor leaguer in Jacob Lopez. So that's all coming up next, but first... Okay, so as promised, we've got more moves to talk about. The Giants making five trades today at the Major League Baseball trading deadline. This Mark Melancon trade was so surprising to me because it seemed like that contract was going to be very difficult to move. And not only did the Giants move the contract, but they also got two interesting players back in return. So the Braves are taking on the entirety of the $18 million Melancon is owed between now and the end of his contract, which expires after 2020. Melancon was quietly having a very good season in terms of results, but I just still have these big concerns. Ever since he put on a Giants uniform, he has just not been able to limit batting average on balls in play. And that's often a number we associate with luck, but it's also a number, if I went out on the mound and tried to throw pitches, I would have a really bad batting average on balls in play. So it's not all associated with luck. Some of it is just an erosion of skill. And Melancon, this was his one true calling card, was an ability to limit batting average on balls in play by inducing weak contact, and that skill completely left him when he put on a Giants uniform, and he's actually He went from the best in baseball at limiting that number to being the worst in baseball at batting average on balls in play against him. It essentially translates to he's not a big strikeout pitcher, so teams make a lot of contact, and the rate at which players get hits off of Melanson when they make contact, excluding home runs, is higher than any other pitcher in baseball. So not a huge loss. It just never was a good fit for Melanson in San Francisco. He was a disappointment from the day he showed up and blew that save in his very first opportunity. In exchange, the Giants got back Daniel Winkler and Tristan Beck. So Winkler was a really good pitcher for the Braves a couple of years ago. In small samples in 2016 and 17, he was dominant. And in 2018, in a more full season, he threw 60 and a third innings, had a 3.43 ERA, 2.76 fielding independent pitching, and 3.70 xFIP. In his career, he's been about 15% above average by ERA and fielding independent pitching, although he has played 117 games and thrown only 100 innings, so they were using him as a specialist, and he is right-handed. He had a serious arm injury and has lost some velocity on his pitches, but still an interesting guy, and you know, they're getting him in a Mark Melanson trade and getting relief from that entire contract. You know, he figures to be a bullpen depth piece in the minor leagues, potentially could join the Giants as a bullpen arm at some point this season. In Tristan Beck, the Giants gain what becomes their 19th overall prospect. Right-handed pitcher, went to Stanford, currently in high A. He was a premium prospect out of high school, but he had various injury issues and his stuff in command didn't progress as hoped, but he still showed glimpses of the upside from high school. So he has power stuff and some upside, and it's just, you know, he becomes a top 20 Giants prospect, and the Giants were able to get him for Melanson and get the Braves to take on the entirety of the contract. I just think that's another pretty clear win for the Giants. Fangraphs ranks Beck as a 40 future value prospect. So the Giants also traded Sam Dyson, which is probably the hardest pill to swallow for them today. Sam Dyson was really, really good this year and comes with an extra year of team control via arbitration next season. So they traded him to the Twins in exchange for outfielder Jalen Davis and right-handed pitchers Kaiwei Teng and Prelander Baroa. Baroa and Teng are 19 and 20, respectively, in the low levels of the minors. Jalen Davis, for me, might be the most interesting guy. He was ranked 22nd on the Twins prospect list. Isn't showing up on the Giants updated prospect list. I don't know if that they just haven't updated him there or if he doesn't actually fit into the top 40 for the Giants. According to Fangraphs, Kylie McDaniel and Eric Longenhagen, he's got 60 raw power, which is plus power, and is having a monster season in the minor leagues this year. 25 home runs and 9 steals between AA and AAA with the Twins. Currently has a 173 weighted runs created plus in AAA with Minnesota in 41 games. Steamer is projecting Jalen Davis to have a 97 weighted runs created plus at the big league level right now with a 316 on base and a 445 slugging. So a guy who I think could potentially help out in the outfield at the major league level as soon as this season. And finally, last but not least, the Giants and the Rays swung a trade. The Giants getting first baseman slash outfielder Joe McCarthy in exchange for Jacob Lopez, a left-handed pitcher. Fangraphs has McCarthy now rated as the 12th best prospect in the Giants system. Left-handed hitter, has limited physical ability but exceptional secondary skills, according to Fangraphs. Fangraphs' Kylie McDaniel and Eric Longenhagen say they expect him to be a role-playing first baseman slash outfielder who yields value on par with a low-end regular, assuming he can stay healthy. Had back surgery in college, and then he had those issues come back again last season. Jacob Lopez is 21 years old and was a 2018 draft pick in the 26th round and is currently at low A Salem Kaiser, doing quite well, but still just very far away from the major leagues. And I think Joe McCarthy can help them more immediately, potentially as soon as this season. So we still don't have any updated moves for the Giants, who they will activate to make room on the roster for all these relievers who left the team in Dyson, Melanson, and Pomeranz. But they have several intriguing young relievers on the taxi squad who are likely, many of them likely to come up and join the roster tonight. And I don't think they're going to lose too much production because they had such good depth in the minors. So they're able to sustain the loss of these bullpen pieces without losing their competitive edge for the season. And I think they potentially got better with some of these outfield options and with Scooter Gennett replacing Joe Panik potentially. Although we have yet to see that move get officially made, Gennett is supposed to join the team in Denver on Friday. So we'll have more analysis tomorrow. I don't want to have this run way too long, but we'll continue to talk about these moves, these corresponding moves, which relievers get added to the roster, and more analysis from what was a crazy trading deadline for the Giants. Pretty clear they're going to try to ride this thing out. Will Smith not being traded was a surprise, but we'll have the reaction. Bumgarner and Smith are staying. They improved the 2019 team while also improving the future outlook of the club. So I think that's a big win for them, and I think that's the consensus around the industry as well. So we'll be back with another episode tomorrow talking about tonight's game against the Phillies. Remember, to get this show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow. Talk about the game, talk more about these trades, and until then, we'll see you next time.